Thank you, worship team. Wow. I tell you, that was good. I almost missed my cue to come down here. Almost. But then I looked over at my wife and she gave me it. So it's like, whoops. Yeah. Well, I don't know how to do this. There was something found on the floor. I could always look at that this was provision for me. I don't know where it was found. Right back there. First one up here gets it. It's right there. I said it was right there. I don't know why you grabbed over here. That's how it works. So, I don't know. If you really missed that, then come see me. I'll make sure you get another one. But it has to be real. Has to be real. Well, giving to the Lord also means giving to people. Yeah, because what happens when it goes back there? We give it to others. So that's just a quick learning. That giving to the Lord means also giving to people. Also means receiving, just saying, because you can't give to someone that don't receive it. Anyways. I had fun this week for so many multiple reasons. One of them was that I really, really deeply experienced the love of God, and I don't know if I'll make it without crying. So I was disciplined. And wow, not going to tell you how at this time. It might come out in the future, but wow, I was disciplined. And I tell you, it was harsh. I was awake all night, a couple hours of sleep. And it was definitely, I knew that God was doing something to me. But I tell you, after that, I am just overwhelmed by the fact that he loves me so much that he did it. You know, I don't know how you felt. I said it to Terrell today and he said it right, but I'm not going to give him that credit. I said, but, you know, after the fact of discipline, how nice it is that almost immediately I had the Father's hug. Almost immediately. And then he said, yeah, well, you run to your mother first. It's like, yeah, you're right. But that doesn't quantify this whole statement that I just made. But it's amazing how God will discipline you and then just give you a hug. And so all week long, I've been living in the hug. And so maybe in a lot of ways, I would say that's why I felt such a precious presence in the worship today. Was that I'm still experiencing the hug. And I don't want to lose the hug. Because I think that I might have gone through a period of time where I wasn't experiencing it all the time when at one time I was. And it's so nice. I love the hug that he's giving. And that was the beginning of the week. And I didn't even recognize it that that was only a week ago. Not even a week ago. It was on Monday night. But what precursed that was that on, I think it was on Thursday, I was sitting at my desk or I was sitting somewhere else, and I might be wrong on the date, but it just seems that's the one that I all of a sudden recognized God talking to me and saying, we're in a shift. Do you remember when that was, Terrell, when I said that? I'm sure it was last week that there was a paradigm shift that was happening. And I don't know if it's just within me or if it's for the whole church, but what it is it said, you know me with knowledge. It's time to know me in intimacy more than you already do. And so if you go into my office, something that I don't usually do, I taped post-it notes because they wouldn't stick onto my computer screen. That has this on there. And then it's on the other side, it says it's all about relationship. And so I recognize there is a paradigm shift happening. Hi, Nelson family. Over here and over here. Nice. Good to see y'all. Yeah. Happy birthday, dear friend. Happy birthday. 80. Wow. And here I still look at your kids and think they're down here, but they're not. They're up probably taller than me, right? Yeah. Goodness sakes. But that's not all the fun I had. I had other fun. We're going to get to that. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Nope. Mark chapter 2. Yeah. Mark chapter 2. When he had come back to Capernaum, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed, and they were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. Father, thank you so much for your word. It means so much to us here today, even 2,000 years later. And I pray, God, that today, through whatever is spoken, maybe even through the songs that were already sung, that we will all have a new manifested experience that your presence was here with us right now. Amen. Well, about a year and a bit ago, because it was Easter last year, I did a two-part series, one on Good Friday, one on Easter Sunday, and I asked a question of that inserted you into the story, and it was who are you? I was wondering, you know, who are you in the story of the Bible? And so since then, I've been toying with the idea of doing a series on stories in the Bible and asking the question, who are you? So then, sometime last week, sorry, I got to move this because Terrell and I fight over this all week long, and every week he turns it that way and I turn it this way. You got to know my mind just does not work like everyone else's, okay? It's just weird. But, where was I? Oh yeah, last week. Last week I was thinking about this series, and then I was like, you know what? There was a game back in the past that used to be like this. It was situated with a palette of about 16 or more pictures that flipped up. Guess who? Thank you. I was wondering if somebody was going to tell me what it was. It was called Guess Who. So then I was like, I wonder if there's a way that I can change everything about that game to make it more sermon-like. So I went AI. Artificial intelligence is amazing. Can you put up the picture? Who are you? And then there's pictures of different people from the Bible, and then in the bottom, I like Lazarus, because if you notice, he has wraps around him, bandages and stuff. And then there's you. Who are you in the story? But then I thought, you know what? This would even be more fun if it wasn't just a picture that you saw at the beginning, but if, and you can put the picture up and hit play, we did it like a game show.
Did this person see new light? Were they raised to life so bright? Got your thinkers on, let's go! Time to start the greatest show! From a king's court to the sea, who's it gonna be? Who are you?
All AI. It is a good thing. Trust me. It's fun. So I had fun with it. I was just doing this and I see the smiles and I see you're having fun too, but you know what? That's it. I got to preach now. So who are you in the story that we just read? The story of the paralytic. Go ahead and put up the next slide. I think I have it up there. A rooftop experience. A rooftop experience. Because these guys, they went up to the roof. So who are you in this? And we are going to do a series. I have so far, I think, four that are planned out, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Who are you? So in this story, the first one I want to talk about is the paralytic. You can take the picture off. It's not a big deal. It's just, otherwise the people online will just be like, that's boring to look at that all day long. The paralytic. What did the paralytic do? The paralytic laid there. What else would he do? But you know what? He chose good friends. He chose good friends. He could have chosen to stay with other paralytics. I'm sure there was a place that they could go to get cared for. Maybe they had a home of some sort. I don't know. I don't know how that worked back then. Maybe he was stuck in that position. I don't know if you remember, Jen, but in 2013, I think, we went to T.D. Jakes' church, and he spoke a message called, I Got This. And it was on this one. And I tell you, I remember that message because he spoke on how this paralytic could have easily just stuck around with other paralytics and just said, you know what, I'm destined for this life, to stay here. And so his friends could have been other people that had the same thing. He probably knew people that accepted his situation, said, yeah, you're kind of stuck with it. He probably knew people who would never ask God for a change in his situation simply because they would take care of him. You know what? I'll do it. I won't let God. I liken it to the story of one time a mother, and it wasn't here, so don't worry, it wasn't you that said this. I'm not talking about you. A mother came to me and said, I would give anything to see my son hit rock bottom so that they would find God. And I looked at her and I said, you are a mother. There's no way on earth you would ever let your kid hit rock bottom. And therefore, you will block your own prayer. So don't pray like that. Right? I'm just speaking honestly. We will not let our kids hit that rock bottom. And so we'll take care of it. Even though we've asked God to take care of it, we do. How often do we insert ourselves into people's lives taking care of something that God has promised? Now, maybe you were the one that was called to do that. That's why it's important to know what God is wanting you to do in a situation. So, he probably knew people who told him and were convinced that he would never walk again. But at least on this particular day, in Mark chapter 2, he chose some friends who wanted to make a difference. This man picked friends who wanted him to be better. So I ask you a question in regards to this. If you see yourself possibly as the paralytic, who are you hanging around? Are you hanging around other paralytics? You know, what is your paralysis? And it could be a whole gamut of things. Anything could be what is paralyzing you from having an experience with Jesus Christ, from achieving what you are supposed to do. And I can't answer that question for you. I can't even answer the question of who you're hanging around with. Are you hanging around with naysayers? You know, the ones who will say that you'll never get out of your situation? Or are you hanging around with friends who are going to help you get out of bed? Now, these guys, they didn't really know what was going to happen. They heard Jesus was in town. Obviously, Jesus had a reputation. You go to chapter 1 of Mark, and you will see that he healed some lepers and other people, and then he went back to Capernaum. But he went back to Capernaum, to his home, thinking he was in a nice, peaceful place, and all of a sudden, the crowds came to him. And they couldn't get to him because there was a huge amount of crowds. So let's look at these friends for a moment. What did they do? Well, verse 5. Jesus saw their faith. What faith? All they did was go up to the roof and they opened a hole and lowered him down. That's all they did. But it says, Jesus saw their faith. Do you realize that these friends, they are the focus on this story? I don't know if you realize that. It's not the paralytic. It's obviously not the crowds. We'll get to that in a moment. These guys, because Jesus saw their faith. He didn't see the paralysis. He didn't see the naysayers. He saw their faith. And what does he say? He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Whoa. Okay, now, when it comes to the faith, we assume that he's only talking about the friends, but in all reality, I think that you have to insert the paralytic in this as well, because the paralytic could have said, no, I don't want to go there. No, I don't want you to lower me down on these ropes, on this cheap cot. What happens if Joe there decides to slack off a little bit and all of a sudden that side falls? You know, are you going to tie it off on something up there? There's a piece of concrete. Why don't you tie it off there? This is what I would be doing because I hate heights. Actually, let's rephrase that. I don't have a fear of heights. I have a great respect for heights, because I'm not supposed to have a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And my sound mind says, don't go up there. Right? That's why I call Jim, because he doesn't have these uncertainties. The paralytic might have been the one that initiated this even. We don't know. He might have said, hey guys, what if you took me over there to see that Jesus guy and things happened? I'd walk. Well, still, these guys had to have that kind of a faith that they'd be like, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. Why don't we go? Because if they saw the crowds and they didn't have that faith, then they'd be like, let's go next day. But no, they said, let's go up to the roof and let's open a hole. Let's demolish this guy's house. Why don't we put all that sand on their heads? Whoops, there's a big piece. I sure hope that that rabbi turned away. But who knows? Like, you don't know these things. We don't know how it actually happened. But like, in, if you watch The Chosen, they actually said that like it was like the smokestack where the smoke from the fire would go up and everything like that. But we don't know. It's just assumptions. But they had to have faith. In any case, the paralytic did not say no. And these friends decided to go ahead no matter what. Do you have friends like that? That will take you out of your situation that you're in right now, whatever it may be, and they'll say, hey, come with me. I know a guy. And then, are you a friend like this? Are you the friend who won't let anything get in the way of someone receiving what they need? Maybe Tasha needed that $50. Either way, she's the one that took it. You all had the chance. She was very quick, though. So I don't know if you would have gotten it. I know we'd all like to answer yes to the fact that we are the friend that won't let anything get in the way. But really think on it. Are you? Are you? I don't know. Would you be the one to carry your paralytic friend to the roof and dig an opening so that you could lower them down to receive something from Jesus? You don't even know what Jesus was going to give them. We don't. When we pray, we don't know what God's going to do. We don't. Even with our faith, he might do it differently. They went there thinking he's going to heal him. But that's not what Jesus did first. Jesus said to them, son, your sins are forgiven. Would he have healed this guy anyways? I don't know. We don't have that part of the story because it went differently. Would you be the one that Jesus notices because of your faith? Jesus noticed the friends. He noticed their faith. He didn't notice the paralytic in his faith. Now, that might have been part of it. I don't know, and we talked about that already. But he just noticed the faith. So then, let's talk about the crowd. And this, we'll separate it into two different sections. Those of you who are taking notes. So three, the crowd. A, Pharisees. Mark 2, verse 7. Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They didn't want to believe anything. They didn't want to believe. Jesus proved to them that he had the power to forgive sins. How did he do that? He healed the guy. Now just think on this for a minute. Just you really have to think. We would, in our natural, think that it's harder to forgive someone's sins than it is to heal. Right? Because we all are Pharisees. We all say, who can forgive God, sins but God alone? Right? I'm in the same crowd with you and with these people in the story. Jesus proved to them that he had the power to forgive sins by healing the man. He said it himself. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and pick up your pallet and walk. But just so you know that I have the power to forgive sins, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. And what did he do? He picked up his pallet and walked. Even with the proof, they continued blaming him of blasphemy. Mark chapter 7, verse 13 says, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down. Are you one to religiously stand on traditions even when God shows you differently? Just a question. Purposely not looking at anyone. So I don't want you to think that I think that you're religious. Because I don't. But you might be. And if you are, then, well, ask God about it. Are you willing to come out of your comfort zones and join God in what he is doing? These are tough questions. And we're going to get to them a little bit later as well. And I hope that you haven't turned off because of something that I have already just said. But please stick with me. What about the others in the crowd? So this is be the onlookers for those of you taking notes. Verses 12 to 13. The man got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. How many of you have ever said in church, we've never done anything like this before? Or we've never seen anything like this? Now, in that instance, were you amazed and glorifying God, or were you trying to stop things? Just a question. They said, we haven't seen anything like this before. And then he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. These onlookers, they wanted to see Jesus do stuff. You know, some people would say they're looky-loos. They're wanting to see stuff from God. They want to see the amazing things. Anybody here know who Rusty McAllister is? Anybody? What? Picture it with me. The Incredibles. Those of you who are Incredibles fans and watch Pixar, if you don't, bear with me. Just turn off for about a minute. The neighbor boy, Rusty McAllister, sees all these amazing things that Mr. Incredible does. Mr. Incredible is a superhero, if anybody didn't know. And he was doing amazing, strong feats of stuff. And this little boy is standing on his trike. Car comes in, Mr. Incredible steps out, picks up his car, is about to throw it down, and then he sees Rusty sitting there, and he says, what do you want? Or what are you wanting to see? And Rusty says, I don't know, something amazing. Are you that person that wants to see the amazing of God? It's not a bad thing to want to see him do stuff. I want to see it. Why? Because then people will actually believe. But even when the amazing stuff happens, people don't believe. I came back in December of 2016 from a conference in Orlando, Florida. And I was amazed. That was when my tears started. When I experience the manifested presence of God, my tears flow. While there, I saw with my own eyes gold dust appear on people's faces. I saw feathers floating down and landing on their shoulders. I saw different people with anointing oil that was just absolutely covering their hands from nowhere. I came back and talked about it, and I was almost kicked out. What do you do? Are you wanting to see God do amazing things, or you just want to read about it and that's it? I want to see the amazing. I want it for you. I want it for me. I want it for all the people that are around us. Do you look for Jesus to do something amazing or that you haven't seen before? I don't know. I would love to see something I haven't seen before. I have yet to see someone's teeth turn gold. I'm not going to pray for someone to have their teeth go to gold. And I didn't pray to see anointing oil or feathers or gold dust. But it happened. So there's one more that we need to talk about. I want to ask this question, and it's hard because I have a difficult time with this one. Have you ever looked at a story in the New Testament, in the Gospels especially, and said, I wonder what it would be like if I were Jesus in that story? So I think a lot of times we overlook him when we do this kind of a thing of who are you? But he says, multiple times, be like me. Well, how can you be like him if you can't imagine yourself to be like him? That would be very difficult because you don't know what it's like to be like him even in your imagination. And the great thing is he says that he will give us more than we ever ask or need in our imaginations. It's like, whoa, more than you can think or imagine. So if you can imagine yourself being like Jesus and he's promised that we will do more than what he ever did, then wow. Let's read verses 5 to 10. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. Sorry, Terrell, that was supposed to go to verse 11. Oh, you did it. Good job. Yay! Yay, Charmin. When we look at these stories, like I've said already, it's easy to see yourselves as any of the people. But then when we look at Jesus, it's like, oh, can I be him? It's difficult to imagine ourselves as Jesus. We're told to be like him, so why would it be so difficult? I think we find it hard to picture because we feel unworthy. I'm not the Son of God. Oh, wait a second. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, Beloved, you are now children of God. In some versions it says you are now sons of God. What? I'm a son of God? That means I should be able to do Son of God things. It kind of goes hand in hand. Even when it says at the end of this verse, we will see him just as he is, and then in chapter 4, verse 17 of 1 John, it says, As he is, so also are we in this world. You are worthy because he calls you his son. So you can picture yourself as Jesus. You can do the things that Jesus did. So back to our story. Do you see people's faith and act on it? Jesus saw their faith. Do you forgive? Jesus saw their faith and said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I don't think that's what their faith was for, if you want me to say it that way. But he saw their faith. In John chapter 20, a very hard scripture, because I don't think we fully grasp what this means. John chapter 20, verse 22 to 23. When he said these things, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." I wonder if we've missed it in saying that we can't forgive sins. I'm just wondering. The Bible says these things. What does it mean? I don't know. But it says it. What about in Matthew chapter 6? We pray this wonderful prayer. "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven the others." How are you forgiving? Because that's how you're asking God to forgive you. Plus, it goes on into verse 14. "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." I have this feeling that God is saying that there's a very important part and aspect to forgiveness. Back to our story. Do you sense what people are thinking or saying and give biblical answers to them? It says in verse 8, "Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning the way they weigh within themselves, said to them, 'Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts?' And then he forgives them and heals them." Have you ever sensed what someone is going to say before they say it? Or that you sense that someone across the room is saying things about you that, or about something, and you reason within your heart and you say, "Oh, that ain't good." And sometimes I know I have been wrong. I look at people and I start to think, what are they thinking right now? It's happened multiple times today in this message. Because I always do. I wonder, while I'm speaking, what are those people saying, thinking about me right now? And I trust they're all good thoughts, but I don't know those things. Sometimes I do. Sometimes it's by the Spirit. Sometimes it's by facial expression. But what do you do with it? Terrell and I were talking this morning, I think it was, in about how we can be human in our actions. And we can say things that are mean and negative when things go awry in your life, especially when the telemarketer calls. What if that telemarketer knew who you were? Would you say the same things? Should it matter? I'm in the same boat, trust me. What about caregivers that do something wrong? How do you react with them? What about coworkers? What about your kids? What about your parents? What about the people at the grocery store? Close your ears for a second. Jen and I went to McDonald's yesterday because we were really, really hungry. But Emma was cooking for us. But we were really, really hungry. We were in the drive-thru at McDonald's. Now, what is McDonald's known for? Fast food. You can tell where this story's going. I think we sat in line once we ordered for over 15 minutes. Once we ordered. That's not fast food. I can tell you, there was human rising up in me. I was able to quench it because, after all, I had just preached a wonderful sermon at a funeral. And so I was very godly at this moment. Note the puppy dog eyes. I don't know if you saw them or not, but they were there. What do you do in those situations? Do you respond with godly love and biblical truths? Or do you respond in the human? And guess what? We're human. Those things will happen. But do you recognize when it happens and then aim to do better? And then miss again. Then aim to do better. And man, it got a little closer. At least this time you didn't swear. We're human. No, your pastor, yes, he does. Never mind. Are you in tune with the Spirit to know things? Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. Just so you know the backstory, there's this woman who is fortune-telling. And saying to Paul, that he is a servant of God. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. That should say Paul turned into a human. He was greatly annoyed. But he still took authority in the Spirit. And he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. This sounds weird because she was actually giving praise to him because he was a servant of the Most High, but Paul was in tune with the Spirit in such a way that he recognized there was a demon. Cast it out. Are you in tune with the Spirit to know stuff? And my final question in regards to Jesus. Do you tap into the supernatural to help others? Verse 11. I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. Is there someone in your life that you need to enact the supernatural so that they will get out of their paralysis? Whatever that is. I can't answer that question for you because you know your world. So with that, we go to Mark chapter 16. Starting in verse 15, it says, And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Wow, that sounds very easy. I want you, if you have the nerve to do so, change the words all the in your Bible to your. Go into your world and preach the gospel. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This isn't a separate section from go into all the world and preach. Same section. Go into your world and preach, and these signs will follow you if you believe. So the big question, who are you? Are you the paralytic? Are you the friends? Are you the crowd, either the Pharisees who didn't want anything to do with it, or the onlookers who want to see something amazing? Are you Jesus? You're called to be Jesus to your world. Our ultimate goal should be to be like Jesus all the time. But at least we should strive for the positive ones in this list. But I would venture a guess that sometimes all of us tend to act like Pharisees. And I do think that there are times when each of us are each of these things at some point in our lives, where we are the paralytic that needs the help, or we're the friends that brings the help, or we're the crowd, whether Pharisees or onlookers. Or were Jesus to that person? Go ahead and picture and play. Who are you?
Did this person see new light? Were they raised to life so bright? Got your thinkers on, let's go! Time to start the greatest show! From a king's court to the sea, who's it gonna be? Who are you?
Father, thank you that we can have fun, even in the midst of sermons that can be serious. I pray that you will allow your Spirit to work in us and tell us who we are. Help us to be who we should be. Help us to look around and see what others are needing, and help us to at least lead them the right way. May we know your heart. May we know your Spirit. May your Spirit guide us in all things. And may we go forth in Jesus' name. And so I pray blessings upon all of you, that you be like Jesus to your world, that you seek for the amazing, that you help friends out when they are in need, that you forgive as you can, and that when you are in need, you find those friends to help you. Amen. God bless you richly. I hope it was fun for you. I enjoyed it myself. And next time, we'll be looking at a sinner's dinner. So, God bless you.